Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Stand by.
3, 2, 1.
The following program comes from executive producer Lillian Garcia.
Every athlete is on this quest. Every performer dives in
head first,
battling real life challenges and overcoming obstacles in an effort to make their dreams reality.
Reality.
Singer, songwriter, 15-year WWE host Lillian Garcia was the first woman to ever announce WrestleMania. Oh, yeah!
And the first to launch her own podcast,
which gives you an all-access pass to the human interest stories of elite athletes
and extraordinary entertainers.
Now, let's embark on another fascinating journey
of chasing glory
with your host, Lillian Garcia.
Welcome, everybody, to Chasing Glory. So awesome to have you as always. If you're joining us again, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, well, welcome to the CG Squad, where we're making a difference story by story. Stories from our superstars, from people that are just really opening up, and today is no different. Whoa, get ready for this. But first, I want to thank you for following me at Lillian Garcia on Instagram and Twitter and Lillian Garcia official fan page on Facebook, following the show at Chasing Glory Podcast on Instagram, and also for downloading the app. Chasing Glory has its own app, so it's very simple. The app is right on your phone, so it's easy to access all the shows. And also for, you know, getting merchandise from my eBay store, all you have to do is go to eBay and then just in the search column, put Lillian Garcia Direct. I am actually getting rid of my closet full of WWE clothing. So there are many things that I actually wore on the show, and I will personally autograph it for you. I just have to get it out of here. Okay, guys, it's early spring cleaning. I am done with having a closet full of memorabilia. I want to share it with all of you guys. So make sure you go to the eBay store at Lillian Garcia Direct. And also, if you want a special message from me, all you have to do is go to cameo.com. And cameo is C-A-M-E-O, cameo.com/Lillian Garcia. Just remember that Lillian is with one L in the middle. And I will give you a personalized birthday wish or a anniversary. Like, this is a perfect gift for someone to surprise them with a message from me. It's a lot of fun. I've been having a lot of fun with that. So check that out. Also want to thank our sponsors who are bringing this to you because they're bringing you the show for free. CuredNutrition.com. So excited about this product because it helps with anxiety. It helps with being able to sleep better, with being able just to chill, to calm down, to get through your day so much better. Also clarity, all of that. Check them out, curednutrition.com/glory. And that will give you 15% off. And I'll let you know more about them later on in the show. All right, I want to summarize a little bit because if you guys saw on my Insta stories, I actually was at the Royal Rumble. I was at Monday Night Raw and I was at SmackDown. What a blast reconnecting with everyone and getting to see everyone do their thing. It's just, God, going to a live event, there's nothing like it. And again, getting to visit all the people that I worked with. And it's, for me, it's definitely my family. So it was just so nice to be back and just be behind the scenes watching it and just enjoying it. And then getting these amazing interviews that I'm about to share with you. Yes. Yeah, so I have to say, last week, my guest was Steve Weatherford, and I wanted to bring somebody new to you guys that you might not know, because I always think that it's important to learn from somebody else's perspective. And because of the Super Bowl, now the Super Bowl was last night when this airs, but unfortunately, I'm actually taping this earlier than the Super Bowl so that you can have it first thing Monday morning. So therefore, I have not seen the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl has not happened. Did any of that make sense? You get it, right? So Steve Weatherford, though, he was a Super Bowl champion. So what was really cool about the interview took you into the mindset of a Super Bowl champion the week going into the Super Bowl, like what he did to prepare to go into the Super Bowl and win. And what came out of this interview, he even said, wow, I am floored. Like, I am having breakthroughs on this podcast. And it was literally all about eliminating distractions in order to win. And I think that is so important because we are in such a world of distractions, distractions, distractions. So go back and listen to Steve Weatherford and eliminating distractions, how to do it and how to get focused to get what you want, to win, 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 win. All right. And today, guys, I am so ecstatic to share with you this interview. It's a two-part interview. We have breaking news that we're going to be exposing in this interview with Lana and Rusev. Very excited to have them on. This is only Rusev's second podcast, and he hasn't done a podcast in over 2 years. And they've only done one other podcast together, but they said nothing like this. So I have to say it got very, very emotional. You're going to learn a lot about them. I didn't know a lot of things about them, and now I even understand them better. So that's coming up in this episode. But talking about emotional, I have to share something with you because I told you guys that I was going to be reading a different review every single week from Apple Podcasts. Remember that I'm giving away an autograph 8x10 and also a t-shirt. And it could be a Chasing Glory t-shirt or a Lillian Garcia t-shirt. But I wanted to give these shirts away as an incentive to you to have you write your reviews. We love to read your reviews. It helps the show tremendously. And this review hit me so hard. Wow, it was so powerful. So I knew that I had to pick this one for this week, and they will go into the running. But this is from Abby. And it's a little long, but I'm telling you, stick with the story because it's pretty incredible. All right, this is my favorite podcast. I've been a wrestling fan since I was 7 years old. I found your podcast during the worst time in my life. A bit of my story is, at 5, I severely broke my leg and was in a wheelchair for 2 months. Because of how severe the break was, I had 2 surgeries when I was 8 years old because my bone was sliding off the cartilage. So they had to put in hardwire, and then they had to wait a few more months for the hardwire to move the bone, then remove it. Had the same 2 surgeries at 12 years old and had another surgery on my other leg at 13. Crazy, crazy stuff, right? Just wait, because it gets worse. I started 8th grade excited. I was cleared of all knee surgeries. I started horseback riding, something that I've always wanted to do. I was going to the gym 3 times a week with my best friend, and I was just hanging out with friends, finally living a normal kid life. I was so happy, and also because ever since I first watched wrestling, I thought, this is what I want to do. I knew I was strong and tough and I could do it. I live an hour away from MCW and I was going to start training once I turned 16, but I had no money, so I started applying for jobs. On December 18th, 2017, my life changed forever. I passed out at school. I woke up in the nurse's office. My hearing and vision were messed up. I felt so dizzy and nauseous. I didn't know where I was. My brain was just not working properly. I went to the hospital and was diagnosed with a chronic illness called POTS, P-O-T-S. I couldn't walk until the end of February, and I had 3 hospital trips in between then. I went back to school part-time and was homeschooled part-time. I became so depressed, and I lost friends. Family would make rude comments saying I'm being over dramatic. I felt completely lost. Summer came and I was so depressed, but my health started getting better because I was just laying down all the time, so I had the energy when I needed it. Everyone thought that I was better, so I started high school like everyone else, full schedule for 2 weeks. Then passed out on my birthday, and my blood pressure was so high that the nurse thought that a machine was broken. A week later, I was put in the hospital for a week because I couldn't walk again. I left that hospital suicidal. If this is going to be my life, if this is going to be forever, I can't handle that, I said to myself. I became so depressed, and right before Thanksgiving, I went to commit suicide, and I was going to take my medication all at once. I grabbed the medicine, had the bottles in my hand, and was able to thankfully, quickly snap out of it. The next day, I told my mom and was then checked into a mental hospital. Some horrible stuff happened there, but I got better and was put on the right medication. Why am I telling my story? Because your podcast has helped me. Hearing all of my idols talking about what they're going through, rough, horrible times, made me feel like there is a chance for me to get through this. Paige, Alexa Bliss, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Nikki Bella are some of my favorites. Made me even believe a bit that maybe I can pull through this and maybe even start a wrestling career like I always dreamed of. Thank you, Lillian, for starting this podcast, and you have really helped so many people, even if you don't realize it. Thank you. Oh, man, Abby, you have no idea what that's done for me. I really, really want to help you guys out there. I hope that you see that. And the beautiful thing is that the superstars and the guests, even outside of wrestling, know that as well. They have seen what this show has done, and they have said, you know what? I want to tell my story. I'm okay being vulnerable with you if we can turn around and help someone out there. So I tremendously, tremendously thank you, Abby, for sharing that, because I know you were very vulnerable. And I want to tell you, don't give up. Keep listening to stories and keep just grabbing on to anything positive that you can in your life. Focus on the good things that are happening in your life. So just again, thank you so much for sharing it. All right. So like I said, Lana and Rusev, this gets pretty emotional. There is some breaking news. This is a 2-part series. I encourage you guys to definitely hear the full 2 parts. Pretty strong. So, without further ado, here is Lana and Rusev's journey of chasing glory. For Rusev and Lana, it was a match made in the middle of a wrestling ring. Rusev would be born and raised in Bulgaria, where he would compete in rowing and powerlifting activities. Growing up a huge wrestling fan, Rusev would move to the United States to search for opportunity and would find himself in Los Angeles, California, where under the guidance of WWE Attitude Era superstars Rikishi and Gangrel, would begin training to be a professional wrestler. He would begin to perform throughout the California wrestling scene, and with his imposing size and unique background, would catch the eye of WWE officials and would sign with the WWE and be assigned to the developmental territory at the time, FCW. Rusev would make history being the only Bulgarian to ever compete in the WWE. He would be a pivotal part in the transition from FCW into NXT, and it would be there that he would meet someone that would change his life. Born in Gainesville, Florida, Catherine Joy Perry, known as Lana in the WWE, would be quite the world traveler as a child, having been to 30 different countries by the age of 12, and would spend the majority of her time in the country of Latvia, where she learned to speak Russian fluently, as well as become a highly skilled dancer. Lana would return to the United States at the age of 17, where she would pursue various ventures in the entertainment world, which included modeling, dancing, singing, and acting. You can see her in the successful franchise Pitch Perfect, but would eventually end up in a very unique form of entertainment. After winning a talent search contest, Lana would sign with the WWE and would report to NXT, where she would be aligned with Rusev as an eye-opening duo that would crush the competition. The pair would make their official main roster debut the day after WrestleMania 30, and as a duo, made an immediate impact because within months, Rusev would become the first Bulgarian Brute champion when he won the United States Championship. Their on-screen chemistry translated off-screen, where they became a couple and their love would be showcased starting in the sixth season of the hit reality show Total Divas. Lana became an integral part of the popularity of Rusev, growing and transforming into Rusev Day, and would team on numerous occasions, including impressive showings in the Mixed Match Challenge. They are one of two husband and wife combos to have competed in their respective Money in the Bank ladder matches, and they continue to dominate on SmackDown Live. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring with the ravishing Russian Lana and the Bulgarian Brute, Rusev. Well, happy Rusev Day. We are here. This is amazing. Oh my gosh. Welcome, guys, to Chasing Glory.
Chasing Glory. What a name.
I know.
You like it, huh?
I love that name.
Well, yeah. Isn't that what we're all doing? In one respect or another, we are all chasing some sort of glory.
Yeah.
And glory, you know, I've been doing this show for a while now, and I realize glory doesn't have to mean what everybody thinks, like the one thing, right? The fans or money or any of that. I mean, some people's glory is literally making a difference in other people's life.
Yeah.
You know, it can be such a different meaning. Mm-hmm. For you, what does glory mean to you?
I wish I could start off with you answering that question. What does glory mean to me? I mean, there's so many. I feel like it's such a subjective an opinion. But to me, I always toy with these two different ideas of the answer I'm supposed to give, the answer of what glory is, because I was raised in a Christian home and raised by Christian parents, and then like, well, then really, really genuinely, what do I think? That it's almost like I'm not honest with myself. Mm. And I just like kind of discovered this, like meeting with a psychiatrist with questions that were being asked.
When you go to a psychiatrist?
Well, just a couple of times. Remember I told you this.
Breaking
this
news.
This is great, this is great. So you know what? Actually, I don't even want you to answer that. Not yet.
Okay.
We'll get back to that at the end of it.
Okay, all perfect. Right?
But Lana and Rusev, I mean, this is my official welcome to you guys. I'm so excited. I know we've been trying to do this for a little while, and I always say timing is perfect. And it is. It's perfect right now. Mm-hmm. I do want you to be careful with this. We're all being honest, by the way.
We've had backstage. Some major mic problems setting this up. Okay, how's that?
Yeah, good. It's beautiful, but I don't want it to be like in the middle of things. We're backstage. It is SmackDown, and it's always great when I get an opportunity to sit one-on-one and in front of you guys as I do these interviews. But if you guys out there hear any noise that might happen, just disregard it and we'll just keep moving on. Yeah. It's backstage. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
WWE, right?
Yes, WWE. But you know what? You bring up a really good point, Lana, and the fact that you keep evolving, right, as a person, mm-hmm. and you keep growing and learning about yourself. And I've been doing that for years now, and really trying to get to a place of understanding where is my mindset coming from and where are these thoughts and why do I say that? Why did I say that when I didn't necessarily want to say that? And all. Let's get to your journey for a second.
because you were actually born in Florida, but you grew up in Russia.
Yeah. I was born in Gainesville, Florida, and we lived there for 2 years. My dad was a campus minister at University of Florida, and my mom taught dance also there. And then they were Christian missionaries to Honduras, Venezuela. We moved to Washington, D.C. for about 2 or 3 years, where they're actually originally from. Both my grandparents were in the military. My one grandfather on my dad's side served as a captain in the Navy for almost 30 years. And then my mom's dad was in the Air Force for 28 years. And so it's always a little funny. Like, I would get texts from my grandfather when we were doing the dedicating our matches to Vladimir Putin and Mother Russia. He would always be like sending me, he's like, how hilarious is this if people knew that actually both your grandparents served in the U.S. military for, you know, 30 years. And
Wow. That's
so
great.
So my both my parents were military kids, military brats. Is that what they call them?
Yeah, military brats.
And that's they met when they were 17 in Washington D.C. and were sweethearts and been married over 40 years. So we moved back to Washington D.C. And then at 5, I moved to Russia and I lived there till I was almost 18 years old. And at 10 years old, I auditioned for the National Ballet School. And
yeah, because you actually, your mother was a ballerina.
Yes. Well, she was a professional dancer when she was younger. So she was a modern dancer and she did musical theater. She sings. And she actually started the first modern conservatory in Latvia, in the former Soviet Union. So it was the first dance, BFA dance degree you could get in all the entire nation.
Wow.
She started it. So, because there was nothing, you had the Ballet Academy, and then where she taught modern dance there as well. And, but there was no degrees to get for college if you wanted to be, get a degree in dance. And she started the first BFA program there.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And so it was really cool because it gave people, it used to be like, if you didn't go to this ballet school, every year we had auditions, twice a year. And if they thought you were 5 pounds over, if they thought you were ugly, if they thought literally that they would cut people. Like there was one of my best friends got cut when she was 13 and they looked at her and they just said, nature hasn't been good to you. And
it's life.
Yeah.
That's life in Eastern Europe is what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, they just They're legit just tell you it the way it is.
Straight shooters.
No politically correct.
Oh,
there's nothing like that. It doesn't matter.
There's no prize for last place. There's no like...
Well, for second place.
Yeah.
You're second place, you're literally the first loser.
Yeah.
It's very... Okay. Your point of view on life is very different. And that's the reason why... I'm still the ravishing Russian, but when I was a bad guy, a heel on TV, it was so easy for me to connect with that because that's the way I was brought up. I have American parents who thank God for that because that was like, they train people very differently there. I mean, I had shoes thrown at me and being like, you stupid fat cow. Like, yeah, literally, you're pathetic. I remember one time, like I always worked really hard and my teacher was like, you're like a stupid donkey working hard, going in circles. Just, yeah, the donkey's working hard and you're literally just going in circles.
Oh my God.
That's what you're doing and screaming it.
In front of everybody.
Oh yeah.
What does that do to you? Right now, when you reflect to that,
does
a piece of you end up feeling like that?
I definitely think.
Oh boy! Here comes the tears.
It's okay.
I definitely
authentic.
Think that like it affected like my life a lot more than I realized. Like at the time, I would laugh because she was just so over the top. Like I would try, and that would. Piss her off more and she would kick me out, literally like kick me out of class. But I think it affected me a lot more. And even like you see that on Total Divas, like I want to be liked and I want to fit in because I always felt like I didn't fit in. Like I grew up being the only American in a foreign country and where they didn't like Americans. And so just, I would get lower grades just because I was American. And they go, you smile too much. Like you're happy, you're fake. And
I heard that in a movie recently. Literally, they said something to, and I can't remember the movie, but they literally said, hey, don't smile because in Russia, because they think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Or you're a mental patient. I was like, oh my God, no wonder you see so many Russians with the with a straight face.
Yeah. You don't say
it's
hi.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, you...
Like, it was very funny to me when you, you know, here in the street, you just walk and...
You say hi.
You say hi. People don't know, you know, but in Bulgaria or in Russia, it's not like that. We're like, what are you looking at?
Yeah. You know? You don't say hi to people you don't know. You don't smile.
Where does that come from in that culture? Do you know?
I don't know.
Is that the wars? Is that...
I have no idea.
Well, people think Americans are really fake. So it's more like, why are Americans that way? Like, why are you saying...
But what I'm saying is... Yeah. The culture, a Bulgarian and a Bulgarian will not walk across each other and say hi to each other.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Because that has nothing to do with America.
I think it's just like everybody minding their own business.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know me, I don't have to say hi to you. You don't have to say hi to me. I'm just going about my business. While here, everybody, and to a degree, it's true. Like it is fake. Hey, hi. Like you're never going to see me probably again. Why would you say hi? Why would you care? You know, to say hi to me, type of deal.
Oh, because it makes me feel good.
Well, yeah, but...
It does. It makes me feel good to say hello to another human being.
Right.
To me, it's acknowledging another human.
Right.
Not necessarily do I want to be in your business or whatever, but to ignore you, also, for me personally, if I walk by a person and I ignore them, it's like their existence here in this earth doesn't matter. So therefore, I'm just going to walk right by them. Where if I turn around and acknowledge... and take a moment out of my time to say, hi, how are you? Or just hi.
Right.
I'm just acknowledging you're another human here.
That's I've never heard it put it that way. And like, that's a lot more understanding to me, like than just being, because it was really strange for me coming to the United States and everyone saying hi, especially in the South, everyone says hi and smiles. And I would always be like, really suspect. Like, why are you talking? Like, it was really hard. It's still hard for me to like make, like banter with people I don't know.
And I've noticed that actually. Yeah.
I'm really shy. Well, not even shy.
Because so
yeah.
Because there are literally those times that I would say hi or it's easy and I hear you go, hi. And it was literally like a forced.
Yeah.
Hi. Well, like I'm supposed
say this.
To do this.
Yeah.
But it's very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's because I grew up there. And so when I say I'm Russian American, it's because my forming years were over there. And I was like so much part of my life was formed from this, from the, that culture. And so when I moved back, it was a real huge shock. And still like I identify to a lot of things that are Russian and the Eastern European culture. But at the same time, there's things I really identify to because of my parents and who are very American. And, you know, my dad would always be like when I would be told I was stupid and dumb and would never be anything and was a fat cow. My dad would just keep on being like, the sky's the limit. Like you can do anything you set your mind to. And I really wouldn't be where I am now if it wasn't for my parents. Because there would be a lot of times throughout my whole life, and if it was in WWE, if it was in entertainment or in the ballet world, that it's like people don't believe in you, and people will say you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that, and if it wasn't and for that in my head of like no, the sky's the limit, like I can do anything I set my mind to, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I am very, very thankful for. Like, he calls it the good stubborn, you know, the American, that's the Eastern European version of basically saying never give up, you know, is he goes, we're the good stubborn. Like, we don't give up. Yeah. And, but yeah, I think as a little girl, I just never felt that I fit in because I was American and Eastern European culture. And on top of it, I was Christian and an atheist. Society. So that was even more what was like, whoa, like I was the only person. It wasn't like in the South where everyone goes to church or you have people get up there and go, you know, they get an award in America and go, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior. I just want to thank Jesus or I just want to thank God. No, that's not how it is over there. Like, it was communism, and if you believed in God and you went to the Orthodox Church or the Lutheran Church, you were sent to Siberia.
So it is an atheistic country. And they would literally look at me and go, oh, you believe in God? Like, you are just scared of dying. And that's why you've created God. That's why you've created heaven, is because you're scared of dying. You're just a weak person. And so on top of everything, that is another thing that made me like weird and strange. And I went to church every Sunday. My parents were ministers. They were missionaries. And then on top of all of that, my parents were, they're just non-denominational. And my dad still to this day works in the ministry and prayer. And he believes like all denominations come together and pray. And that was a cult there. So at one point they accused my dad of being a religious terrorist.
Oh, wow.
And we were kicked out of the country. They wouldn't grant him the visa. And we were kicked out of the country for 2 months until we got a visa through my mom being a dance professor, because they accused him of being a religious terrorist. So that just added even more to like all like things. Like, I think as an adult, like it's so played into my, I always feel like an outsider. I always feel like, because then I came to the United States and I didn't identify with Americans.
Right.
I felt foreign in this place called America. I didn't fit in with the middle white class. I related to minorities. I related to Black people. I related to the Hispanics because I grew up as a minority. But then I don't look like them because I'm not them. And so then I didn't completely fit in with them. And I didn't completely fit in with like the middle class white people. And it was just like a lot. My brother, who's a year younger than me, we went through major, major culture shock when we came here versus like my younger siblings who are, you know, my sister, I think, was 8 and my other brother was 12 and I was 18 and my other brother was 17.
Yeah.
And we just went through, like, it was really hard for us. Like, college, the first 2 years was really hard. And I didn't know half the pop culture. I didn't know slang. I was a foreigner, but then confused people because I speak without an accent. And so there was a lot of things that, but I, at the same time, like, hindsight looking, I am grateful for that because it taught me discipline. Like, I was not the most talented girl. I was not the, and the only thing I really, really had that was like the ideal thing for being ballet was like perfect ballet feet. Everything else, like, I wasn't flexible enough. I wasn't, you know, skinny. And like, they want you to be no butt, nothing, like anorexic, even though I was skinny. I was like,
but you said you got called chubby at first or something.
Oh, it was called fat.
Fat. But how big were you?
I was like, probably, when I was like 14, I was 90 pounds and like 5'4".
And they're calling you fat?
Yeah.
Yep. For ballet.
Yeah.
Oh, because
they
ballet.
Said I had like my butt was way too big.
Oh, gosh.
And they would give me exercises to try to get rid of my butt.
Wow.
Yeah.
But does that give you, like, did you ever have eating disorder?
Oh, I had
that?
Really bad eating disorders. Really, I was hospitalized when I was 17.
Oh, really?
I had really bad eating disorders. All, like, I mean, I was bulimic. I was anorexic. Like, when I was 14, I counted my calories. I didn't eat more than 400 calories a day.
Oh.
All I would eat and drink was Diet Coke and coffee, and I would have a little bit of chocolate. And just, I was very, very unhealthy. And I hid it from my mom because my mom, if she knew, she would have taken me out of that school. Like, that was her biggest fear, is that that world would give me eating disorders.
And that was here in the U.S. that you got
no,
that?
No. That was there.
There, before there. You moved here.
Oh, yeah. I had major, major eating disorders. I would write myself hate notes.
Hate notes.
Yeah, I would literally, like, write myself hate notes and be like, I'm a fat cow. Don't eat until you reach this. You're stupid. You're done. And I would put hate notes, and it was, like, this little thing next to, like, next to my bed, and I would put all those notes, and I just hated myself, because that's what that world and that society created. They always say you were dumb, you were ugly, you're stupid, you're fat, and I would just, like, every day look, you know, every day I would weigh myself, like, 3 times a day, and I would, you know, looking at myself in the mirror, and I just saw fat. Like, now I look back, I go, oh my gosh, I was so, like, so skinny. I mean, I was so skinny. And I just saw fat. I just, you know, that's when you really have the disorders, when you're looking. And I finally, at like 17, I got hospitalized because I was so bulimic and taking so many pills and just doing a lot of bad stuff to myself. And I was hospitalized for a month. And
that was right before you came here.
Yes, yes.
So how was your transition when you came here? Because like you said, culture shock.
Yeah.
People are treating you differently. I get it, because I came when I was 8 years old from Spain.
Yeah.
And I was bullied for speaking Spanish, for wearing dresses and not jeans and all of that. I get it, totally. And it does follow you.
Yeah.
It follows you. It followed me for a very long time. But I was 8. So when you say that about your brothers and your sisters, I get it, because, yeah, it was a little, even though it was so traumatic, it was a little easier for me, I would think, than doing that at 17. Mm-hmm. So now you've had an eating disorder. You come over. Mm-hmm. Does your eating disorder continue?
Well, I moved to New York the first year I took, before I went to college. I was dancing in New York, and I was with my best friend that I was at the ballet school with me. And so it was easier because I still had a person I fit in with because it was my best friend. And New York is such a melting pot in the sense of there's so many Russians and just people from all over the world. Everything was public transportation. I didn't know how to drive. So I wasn't as a culture shock because I was in New York City. I was dancing. I broke up with my boyfriend at the time. So I got skinny. And so I was happy, but once again, just drinking Starbucks. But then I quit dance. I finally realized I was burnt out, and I felt like I found my identity in dance, and no one knew me anything else but CJ the dancer. They knew. And all of a sudden I was I don't like dancing anymore. I was so burnt out.
But why did that bother you that people were saying CJ the dancer?
Because I didn't know myself in any other way, I think. I think New York was kind of overwhelming me. I think I was just really, honestly, I was burnt out. I didn't have a normal childhood. From 10 years old, I was dancing 45 hours a week. I was being trained how you train as an Olympic athlete. That's, you can ask him. That's how they train it over there as athletes. If you're a professional ballet dancer, a professional musician, or an athlete, there's no American way when you do five different sports, all these different activities. No, you pick one and you master it. And they don't take things light. The Nadia Comaneciches of the gymnastics world think that's the way they train. How people train to go to the Olympics, that's how you train. And you started at 10. So 45 hours a week I was dancing. I did nothing else but dance. I didn't have a social life at all. I danced and went to church. Dance, went to church. Dance, that's it.
Yeah.
And so I was burnt out. And
but before you quit, was that when you were dancing? Because you danced for Nelly. You danced
No. I quit and I just took an 8 month break and then I started dancing again. Yeah. And, but I had to do that for myself. And, but it is really interesting, of how, actually I was talking to Zelina about this. It was the first time ever I really just was whoa. I was talking, Zelina and I were riding in the car together, and my friend who is a writer, a film writer, was in the car with, us. And I grew up with brothers that always played video games. I used to play video games as a kid with them and always loved comic books and Star Wars and all these things. And Zelina was saying that she was such a nerd as a kid and was bullied because she comic books and video games. And I looked at her and I go, why were you bullied? To me, that seems completely normal. That's was the normal part of my life was, watching video game. I mean, playing video games and watching, watching Batman and being in the comic books. And she was no, people always bullied me. And I was I don't understand. I think that was that's cool. And the person in the car, my girlfriend, goes, that's because you were so weird because you were a skinny ballerina that went to church, that your normality was video games and comic books. And so, it's I think so often people look at me and they're go, oh, you're not a nerd, or you were a girl that really actually fit in your whole life. And I was like, actually, no, not at all. And it's just interesting. Like, that's just like such a side, like that just shows you of how, like, I always felt like an outsider.
Yeah.
And so when me and Zelina have these conversations, I was like, I totally understand. Like, I always felt that way. And so, yeah, I just got burnt out. And I told my mom and dad I wanted to quit dance. And, you know, they were very supportive. They're like, whatever you want to do. 6 months later, I had an opportunity to go on tour to actually Bulgaria and Greece and dance. And it was a really good opportunity. And I really liked the project. And I was like, okay. And I took it. And
how long were you there?
What?
How long were you?
I was in Bulgaria and Greece. I toured all over there and a couple other European countries. I was over there for like 2 or 3 months. And then that led to some other dance jobs in LA. And my dad always really wanted me to go to Florida State. And like I got into Juilliard. I had gotten into Fordham University through Alvin Ailey. And I was like, I didn't want to go to a conservatory because that's all I knew was a magnet school. Like, that's what I grew up was only around dancers, singers, musicians, theater people. And I was like, my dad really wanted me to go to Florida State because it is an amazing university. You get the college book experience and has one of the best dance programs out of state schools in the nation. So it was kind of like you get the conservatory within a university. And we went there and I tried out and my grades were really bad. But I knocked it out of the park for in dance. And but again, they said you need to lose weight. Cause I put on like 30 pounds. Like, so on top of all this, like I put on like 30 pounds because I finally was eating and like just being a normal person.
Yeah.
And, mind you, like maybe 15 pounds more than now, not even like nothing
crazy.
Yeah,
it's not like you were huge, right?
And still like, oh, you know, and so that hit a huge nerve. But they let me into the dance program, let me into Florida State. I went with that because I wanted I want something new. Like I want a college book experience. I want to experience normal people and normal life and expand my horizon because I think that makes you a better artist. It makes you a more well-rounded person. And I wanted to not just grow as a dancer, I wanted to grow as a human being and learn and be exposed to different ways of life. I'm so thankful I did that. But the eating disorders kicked in again my freshman year because, I was bulimic again, and it was whenever I would get stressed, I was bulimic, and it was like almost like a control thing. And it was that summer after my freshman year, I went and I saw got a really amazing therapist.
What did they do for you to get to the root so that you could actually, you know, really try to conquer it this time?
Yeah.
What do you think was different?
Yes, because I had seen people before. This changed my life. And she has a method. She's a Christian. And so she does therapy, but also like there is parts of it that has to do a lot with spirituality. And so the way the brain works is the way you think and your mentality is formed at an emotional state. So all of us said if you're brought to an emotional state and someone's saying, oh, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat. And all of a sudden you're emotional about it and it's hurting you. And then you start to believe and say, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. Those things start to literally form a way of thinking in your head. And so there's this whole system of being that she will have, it has to do a lot about forgiveness as well. And she will make you write down all the people that have really hurt you and write down all the people that have hurt you and why. And you have to sit them right in front of you and imagine you're talking to that person and say all the things that you want to say to that person.
Wow.
And we did it and the way she did it with me is then I would ask God to forgive me for like the forgive me of judging this person, of these feelings. A lot, what happens is when you're saying these things to this person, you become emotional. You get to that emotional state.
Yeah.
And then at the emotional state, you have to replace the positive thought. So instead of being like, and you can't replace it with like I'm not fat. You have to be like, I'm made perfectly. I am uniquely made. I am beautiful. I have perfect legs. I have a perfect body. My butt is the best butt. My face, and it can't be just like, can't be with the negative. It has to be with the positive thought. And that completely changed my life. It was the most life-changing thing ever. That is when I genuinely did not have eating disorders after that.
Wow.
Like I didn't, my mindset changed. So sometimes I wouldn't actually have the physical eating disorder, but I had the mental disorder still.
Yeah.
I still, and that completely changed my, completely changed my life.
Wow.
And I had to do that with that.
How hard was that though?
It was so hard. It was
so
hard.
A lot of tears, I'm sure.
Bawling.
Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
Fascinating, right? I know. And I can't believe I stopped the episode right now when it was getting so good. But don't worry. It's because I want to tell you about Cured Nutrition. CuredNutrition.com/glory. Remember that? Because they're a holistic supplement company that is based in Boulder, Colorado. And what does that mean? That means they have organic hemp-derived CBD products. Now, a lot of people wonder, what the heck is CBD products? Well, it helps you with sleep, with stress, performance, recovery, pain, anxiety, etc., etc. I'm telling you, the list goes on of what the benefits of CBD are. I am a very big advocate of CBD because I have seen what great it does, like in my own body and in somebody else. For example, my loved one, my father, when he was really having a hard time battling cancer and had so much pain. Pain medication was so hard for him. So this tremendously helped him. This is pretty easy because they have different spices that you can add to food. And I'm talking about really, really yummy spices like peanut butter and cinnamon honey. And they also have yummy cookie dough. That's right. They're like cookies. They're just soft. It's chocolate chip. It's absolutely delicious. And now this CBD has no psychoactive component. You don't have to worry about that. It's not going to affect your mental, like the mood, like whether you can function or not. Some people worry about that. This is nothing that you have to worry about. They also have treats for puppies. That's right. You heard me. For dogs to ease the distress that they go through and support recovery after, like, let's say some seizures. It helps with dogs' seizures. So like I said, there's a lot of benefits to this. And more than anything, anxiety, I think, is one of the major things that people definitely, definitely experience. They have those droppers that you can actually just put right underneath your tongue. So check them out. CuredNutrition.com/glory and make sure you use the promo code glory. That gets you 15% off. That's CuredNutrition.com/glory. You're going to love this company. And coming up in a few weeks, I'm actually going to be interviewing the owner of the company and giving you insights in this product that you're going to be blown away. So for now, CuredNutrition.com/glory with the promo code glory. Okay, let's go back to the show.
Hello, this is the charismatic enigma, Jeff Hardy, and you're listening to Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
Did you realize that your list was longer than you thought it was originally when you were writing out the people?
It was definitely like three teachers, for sure.
The
three teachers that really, maybe more, like that I remember three teachers. God, it might have been. Yeah.
I always say that teachers are so vital because they really do affect you so early in life.
It was never my parents or even my friends. I mean, we were all going through it together.
Yeah.
We're all being told we're fat cows. It wasn't my classmates that bullied me. It was the teachers.
Wow.
And so
before we continue with you, because that's so fascinating.
Let's
great.
Let's talk to Miro.
Yeah, I want to just catch you guys up to him, because this is the journey that's, you guys are how far apart in age?
Months.
Just months.
Yeah.
So while she's having this journey in her life,
all right,
what's your journey in your life? Because this is wild that you only are months apart. So,
and we came to the States kind of around the same time, too.
That's incredible. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, you were born in Bulgaria.
He has an amazing story. One of my favorite stories.
I was reborn in Nashville, though. Yeah, born in Bulgaria, Christmas Day.
Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Really?
1984.
Okay, now I have friends that actually have had a Christmas birthday, and they hate it because they said we never had parties, you know, separate parties, right, because everyone's just celebrating Christmas and no one can get together. Why are you laughing?
Oh, yeah, no, every year it's like so much drama.
Is it?
Because so like, one day, one, yeah.
Why do we have to celebrate Jesus' birthday when it's my birthday, right? I can just see it.
I just need a little separation, you know?
Yeah.
Let's divide this 1 hour for me, give me my presents for my birthday.
Yeah, we have to start off with his presents.
And I love Christmas, so don't get me wrong. And then we can keep going. We know we Christmas and everything. I just need an hour for me. That's
I get that. Yeah. I think it's important.
No, I think it's very important.
Right?
And you have to have a cake for him with candles. One year we made a cake with, we made a homemade cake and a homemade ice cream, and we forgot to put the candles. And then the whole year we had to hear that we didn't get him a birthday cake.
There's not a birthday cake if there's no birthday candles on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just a dessert.
Absolutely.
You made dessert. Great. But don't tell me this is a birthday cake. No candles to blow, no nothing. I don't know how old they are. You know, you're supposed to put the number, you know, there.
That's awesome.
It's always going to be my bragging right.
Yeah. I love it.
So let's see. Yes, born on Christmas, 3 days of birth. My mom was pushing me for 3 days.
Oh, boy. Well,
I was born at 15 pounds.
I was just going to say, you're probably big.
Yes, 15 pounds.
You came out as a Bulgarian brute.
Yeah,
I did. And then what happened? I grew up.
No, come on.
So what happened? Well, I was always big, always through my, you know, from very early age, I was big. Eating my brother's food, that probably didn't help much for my weight.
How many brothers do you have?
Did you really?
I have one brother,
So
my brother would eat half of it because he's so skinny. He always did.
Oh,
so I would just like finish his food, of course.
Really?
Yeah, I was a big eater since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But it came to my advantage later on. So then I think I was getting sick quite often. Like I was very sick. And
I didn't know that. I always leave out all these small little stories.
See, isn't this great? I love
it's exclusive.
Yeah,
it's
exclusive.
Exclusive. Even to your own wife.
Why were you sick?
I don't know. And I remember like going to a doctor and he said that my legs are crooked because I'm like fat or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
You never told me this. Wow. I'm learning something new.
So, and I was always sick. And I heard one time the doctor said, you know, he's like, he's soft. That's what he is. He's just a soft guy, soft boy. You need to like sign him up in the sports. They'll toughen him up. And it's true. Like once I started like doing all kinds of sports, like I did not get sick anymore. Like for some reason, I was just.
Like when you say you were sick, what did you have?
Like, you know, regular like flus and whatever.
Colds.
Colds.
You never get sick anymore.
I never get sick.
But when you do get sick, it's like the world is dying. He goes, there's a tunnel. He hit the light at the end of the tunnel, and I can have his car if he wants. Like, a little cold.
I've been sick twice in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And she had to drive one time, which was, I would rather drive sick than let her drive.
Not a good driver, are you, Lana?
Well,
you can't drive, put makeup, eat, and listen to whatever. Like,
No, you can't.
You can't do that.
No, that's not good.
Yeah. And I'm dying. I'm like, please drop this. And she's like, no, I'm fine. And she's looking at me. I'm like, please look at me straight. Gosh, it's a...
Well, he's a professional driver, which you will hear
as it comes on.
A really good driver.
So what sports did you do?
So then I started, you know, football. We all play football. Soccer. We all play soccer.
Oh, soccer. Got it.
Yes, not American football.
Yeah.
Then I tried wrestling a little bit because I was a big kid. And I also, at this point, I already saw Hulk Hogan on TV. And as soon as I saw him, I'm like, man, I want to be like that guy. And then I went to a wrestling academy thinking that I'm going to see Hulk Hogan wrestling. But it was just, Olympic, like, amateur style. And I started getting thrown around with these big guys, you know. And I was like, this is not what I saw on TV. I'm out of here.
And you did? You left?
Oh, yeah, I did. I gave it, like, 2 weeks, and I was like, this is not for me. From then, I did some karate. some judo as well. You know, just trying to balance all kinds of sports.
Muay Thai?
Muay Thai as well, until I get punched in the stomach. Because they were lining us all up, and the coach comes and he's like, "You ready?" And before you answer, he just punches you in the stomach.
Oh, wow.
So there comes my turn, and the first guy, the second guy, the third guy, he just goes, like, he saw it coming. So he's like, for a minute, he just like, and the coach like just laughed at him. And right before, like, he's like, "Here, all right, kid." And he went to move, and the guy goes, "Here." Bow, right in the stomach. But I think it was so much younger, so much like smaller than the other guys. So he kind of like, it was easy on me, but I was like, I got traumatized. I was like, I'm not coming back here anymore. So I left that too. But then I started playing basketball. Basketball was one thing I really liked to do. And I love playing basketball.
Now, how are you playing basketball when you're so big?
Well, this is the thing, that I was big, but for me, I wasn't, because I was playing basketball, doing all kinds of sports. So, yes, I might have been heavy, but it never...
You're very athletic.
Yeah, it never bothered me.
He's very agile. Like, he jumps really high, and, you know, he's really fast.
Right.
That's cool.
And right? I think that's that's the advantage, because I was always big. So, for me, I always had that weight. But at the same time, it makes me go harder, because this skinny kid that is smaller than me, I'm not going to let him outrun me. So, I'm going to do everything, you know, my power to catch up or to jump high or whatever, because I'm competitive as well.
Very competitive.
Well, semi.
Very competitive.
Not as much as you.
Well, I'm really competitive for
right.
sure. Yeah.
Really so basketball, I played that for quite a few years, and I wanted to row. So my mom and my dad used to be rowers.
Like rowing champions, right?
Yeah, my mom was 2-time second in the world in rowing. And I was like, "Mom, I want to give it a go." And she was like, "Nah, it's okay, son. The rowing is not for you. AKA, you're too fat. You can't do it." But she didn't want to say that,
because right.
she's my mom. Like, rowing is not for you, son. You can do something else.
I didn't know she said that.
Yeah, she
said that. Learning so much about you today.
She was so polite about it. So from basketball, eventually, like this one summer, I don't know if I was 15 or 16, over the summer, I just like grew and I leaned out. Just, I don't know, maybe playing a lot, or maybe puberty hit, or whatever
the thing is.
And I got like, well, not skinny, because again, I've never been skinny, but so then my godfather, he started the rowing school, and he invited me, so I went and joined that. I guess I wasn't that fat anymore for rowing, so I was really happy.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. I was so like,
You loved it?
Yeah, I love rowing. I love rowing. I even quit my school. So I was going to it was 10th grade. It was like a business management type of deal.
Yeah.
And I left that and I went to a sports magnet school just so I can row all the time. Because what you do is you wake up, you go to school, you have 3 classes, then you go to practice, then you go to lunch, then you go to school again for 3 classes, and then go back to practice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you do this,
That's how Eastern Europe is. Like, you have these magnet schools.
Right.
And that's like, you pick your, as so much younger, you pick your profession. And like, if it's a dance ballerina or music or athlete,
right.
and everything is centered around making you into that profession.
That is so crazy, because think about here, when you go to college is when you're trying to make a decision of what you want to be.
Right.
And there's a lot of college kids, including me. I actually shifted in the middle.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be pre-med, and then I ended up doing, you know, like media arts and stuff. But I can imagine as a young kid already having to make a decision what you want to be.
Yep.
Well, they used to, you know, coaches from the school used to go to like, when you're first, second, third grade, and like, "Oh, you're tall, you're going to come and play basketball."
Yep.
"Oh, how old are you?"
Oh, so they made the decision.
Oh, yeah.
They'll come and pick you up.
Oh, yeah.
And you, basketball, you, football, you, this.
So what did they say to you?
So, no, I chose to go by myself.
And they look at your parents, too. So, like, they'll look at a parent and go, "Oh," like, people, like, every year we would, like, at my school we would have auditions. And if they would look at the parents and go, "Oh, the parents are fat or they're short," we should cut them.
Wow.
Because that's most likely what they're going to be.
Wow.
Yep.
Now that I'm thinking, I have this flash when a coach came in into a class when I was like maybe second grade or first grade, and he was doing the same thing, picking, you know, one was for basketball, one was for soccer, and but nobody picked me, and I wanted to, you know, but they saw my physique, and now it's not for you.
So there you go.
And I couldn't play any of it now.
That's crazy. How'd that make you feel it?
It sucked, definitely. Because like, I wanted to do it, you know, but it's just when you're told no, it is what it is. It's life.
I know you're brushing it.
It's
and
life.
I know, I get that.
No, I mean, but what are you going to do?
Where do you get the attitude? Because some people actually, that happens to them and they get traumatized.
Right.
You know, from it. But with you, where'd you get the, well, that's it, that's life?
Well, I think my mom was, before she said it, of course. And it's not a bad thing, to be honest. Like, so I remember we had this jump, again, rowing competition, and I think we finished like second or third or whatever it was. And I was really bummed out. And I was like, oh, what are you going to do? The race is over. You just got to let it go. You know, it is what it is. It's life.
I'm like,
and I guess that's what stuck with me, kind of.
Absolutely. But you're missing out on a big part of that story.
Oh, boy, what am I missing?
Okay, you're missing out because we had this conversation because I was trying to pull stuff out of him for, like, character stuff in WWE. Like, what do you do? Like, what is your way of, how do you deal with real-life disappointment? Like, how do you deal when you would lose rowing? And his response is, I never lost. Wow. I always won. And then, except for this one time, he's like, I always win. I always win. And I go, okay, you won every time. And then he goes, tells this story. And I go, so what do you? He goes, I was furious. I was pissed off. I was angry. So when you see him throwing things out in the rain when he loses, that's like really a part of him. He goes, he was furious and he was angry. He was mad. And then his mother said, well, that's life. And he goes, so after I got over my anger, I just had to realize that's life.
So after the furious and the mad and all of that, that's right. When you just started adapting the whole new thing of when something happens to you, that's life?
I mean, yeah, I think it's just little by little, like moment here, moment there, and you build up to it.
But you still get angry.
But so let me ask you, Dan, because you recently dropped the United States Championship.
Right.
What did that championship mean to you, and then what did it mean to you losing it?
I mean, it meant a lot. It always does, because it was the first championship I ever won. And one thing is just, it kind of hurts me because nobody cares about it. It feels like I'm the only one that cares about that title. And I wanted to make it bigger. I wanted to make it what it was back when we, you know, wrestled John Cena for it. But it seems like every time somebody else has it, just nothing happens. And now that I lost it, I know the title probably is going to get lost again. And I'm going to get lost probably too, but...
Why do you say that? Don't say that.
I mean, who knows?
But it is, it's your thoughts. Where are you right now with everything? Like, how are you feeling? Because I know that, I mean, here you are at WrestleMania, right, having these huge entrances,
right,
you know, and here we are going into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're seeing yourself on the card. I mean, what are you seeing?
I always want to see myself on the card, and I picture myself there. But again...
That's life.
And it's not like I like it. Don't get me wrong. I hate it. I hate seeing that, because we came so strong and we were so like featured. And then, but I feel like the more you hang around, the more you're forgotten. It doesn't matter how good you are. I think I'm good. I always think I was good.
But I don't think so. Because come on, I'm going to challenge you on that. Mm. Roman Reigns was around for a while. I mean,
right.
Cena. You had Triple H, you had Shawn Michaels, right, you had Undertaker, you had all these guys that will not allow themselves to get forgotten.
That's true.
Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, the current roster. So why are you thinking that?
I don't know. Because it doesn't matter what I do, it kind of ends up with the same thing.
This is when I come in.
This is when she comes
in. And I go, this is where I'm very thankful for my American upbringing. Even I grew up in Eastern Europe, is because my parents would always be like, hard work leads to a profit. Like, if you keep on working hard, keep on working hard, keep on being resilient, keep on. No, I determine my own destiny. Like, I didn't come out of Vince McMahon's womb. I didn't come out of anyone of WWE's womb. I came out of my mother's womb. I'm the creator of, well, God, I also believe God has a big part. Of course. But like, I am like, no, like, we're not going to be forgotten. Absolutely not. Like, we're going to fight for our careers. We're going to fight. We're going to knock on Vince McMahon's door. We're going to fight for it. And if you don't, if you do not fight for your career in any area of life, not just WWE, you will be lost. And so, like, and we always have these conversations in the car, and he'll be like, oh, well, and I'll be like, no. We're going to do everything possible. We will keep on pitching. We will do everything possible, because if it if it's not meant to be, and we look back, I'm going to look back and go, I did every single thing possible. And then if that it was the way the journey was supposed to go, then that was the way the journey was supposed to go. But I'm not going to be like, oh, if I worked a little bit harder, if I pitched a little bit more, if I knocked on doors a little bit more, no. Absolutely not.
But it's not like I'm taking it. Like, I am doing everything I can.
No, I know. And he works for, like, he gets frustrated because, like, he has lost over 50 pounds. And, you know, he works really hard on his body and everything. And he's like, okay, maybe that would have given me, you know, maybe then I'll be WWE champion. He should be WWE champion. Like, he's amazing. He is the super athlete. Mm-hmm. I would be pissed.
Maybe I'm not, though.
If I was him.
See, I love what you're saying. I love what you're saying.
Really fired up.
No, and I think it's great. I want to ask you something, though. Because I want to know, besides that whole thing of that's life, I feel like there's something else that has been triggered in you that fighting, there's something negative about fighting for something.
No, there's nothing negative. I fight for everything. It's not like... It maybe came out wrong. I'm not like sitting back and be like, oh, it is what it is. That's not what it, because if that's the truth, I'm never even going to, you know, work out or diet or, you know, wake up in the morning, do cardio, any of this. Because I do want to look at my best. I do want to be at my best because I want to be WWE champion. I want to be on top. I don't want to be forgotten. And, but that's what irks me is that I do all these things, but nothing changes. And that's where the frustration comes. It's, all right, then what am I supposed to do? And cut my hair. I did that. Yeah. You know, it was not a good decision.
Well, no,
I love the short hair, but you know, I got a few phone calls about it.
you did. They like it.
No. So that was, you know, I'm just trying something, you know, to catch somebody, you know, Vince's eye with this, with that. I'm trying. We go, we pitch, we talk. It never comes to anything.
Do you also believe that things come in waves?
They do come in waves. And I was here, and then for the next 5 years, I was, you know, and then eventually I'll do one of these, like little humps, not even a wave, and then right back down.
So you're wanting to go, right, obviously.
Yeah, and I think it was last year, around WrestleMania and before that, you know, the whole Rusev Day started and everything. I thought it was my time, and I keep pushing for being my time, and I keep talking to everybody, but nobody wanted to do anything.
And how frustrating does that feel for you?
I mean, it's very frustrating. But still, as frustrating as it is, I'm like, all right, it's time to go to the gym. Let's get better.
Good.
You know, let's do whatever we can. Let's get this trifecta meal plan, or let's get that, and let's get a trainer. Let's try freaking CrossFit. Holy crap, CrossFit. It's terrible. I'm doing that now. You know, anything so I can look better. So, you know, eventually... Because I don't know what is holding me back, to be honest. I really, really don't.
So recently I had Buddy Murphy on my show. Mm-hmm. And it was eye-opening because he literally talked about how when he first came into NXT, he was paired with Blake. Mm-hmm. And then Alexa got added to the mix. They got tag team champions on NXT. And then they lost the championship. Alexa gets called to SmackDown, and then they disband him with no... Mm-hmm. No reason whatsoever. He goes a year and a half without being on TV. Mm-hmm. Year and a half. Mm-hmm. He got to the point where he absolutely hated wrestling. Yeah. Like, hated it. Just mind, it messes your mind, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when he said, okay, well, what can I do? He was still booked on some live events. So he said, I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to kill it at every live event. Let me just do what I can do. Mm-hmm. So he went out there and killed it at every live event. He's like, what else can I do? Oh, everyone's dieting around here. Everyone's, you know, shredding like crazy, right? Like you said, working out, doing this. So he ended up shredding, and to the point where he ended up shredding 25 pounds. Mm. And what does that do? And I know you've been down that road, right? But that gets him a 205 Live. And the opportunity of 205 Live, and then he becomes champion. And that's, you know, starting to get his way in here. But he said that he also took that opportunity to start coming up with, what can I come up with, that people can do in the audience, or what can I come up with the slang, and he came up with the best kept secret, right? And so now he's looking back and he's going, that actually was a blessing because a lot of me, of who Buddy Murphy is now, got grown through the dark times.
Yeah.
You know? So I know it's hard, but there's so many guys in this position, right?
Right.
that it's now, too, where you really find who's the champion. Mm. When it's easy to be happy and everything's great and all right. that when things are going, when you're on top.
Right.
When you're in the trenches and you're trying to figure out your way out and you don't know, why is this not working? Why that? You just keep at it.
Right.
You've had Rusev Day for a while now.
Mm.
I love Rusev Day, but I'm almost feeling like there should be something next. Have you thought about what would be next and what could be next?
Yeah, not Rusev Day. I mean, as I said, we're trying to push it a year too late, so nobody cares about it anymore. So, I mean, she would say, well, that's not true, but.
I mean, I personally think, and this is just my opinion, and yeah. I know there's other people that are way more decision makers that completely disagree with this, and that's why this is. I think the Rusev Day thing, Aiden had a big part in it.
Yes.
And I said this way before it ever happened. We would ride in the car, and I know I drive in crazy because I love wrestling. I love talking about ideas, and it's just like that's my mind thinks creatively. I love it. And I would be like, this is when we were probably in the program with Roman Reigns. And so this was like, you know, we were heel up on top, and then we did the split with, you know, Dolph thing, which was, we think was a great story. I know like maybe yeah. some smart marks don't like it, but it was like, we go back and look at it and the crowd was erupting, booing mm-hmm. him, cheering me. And then we came back together and we had an incredible run with Roman. Like he even says that he thought that was like the height of his like really being confident as a heel. And in this thing, I kept on being, because we weren't pushing the Russian thing as much. And because of politics, you know, like it had its run. You have to evolve. And I'm like, we have to find something, a singy, songy, chanty thing. We have to. And so they can boo it or they can do the opposite. Like I give New Day sucks to New Day rocks as a perfect example of how yeah. They were doing New Day rocks right. and the crowd was doing New Day sucks, and they did it for a year until finally it turned into that.
Right.
So I was like, you know, we have to find something that the crowd like can boo like or not like or do the opposite of, and then eventually it can turn into a baby thing. And that's actually when he came up with Lana as the best Lana number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know about it. So it's interesting that when he find, and that was a year and a half before we even actually put it on Mixed Match Challenge and picked up like that. And we haven't even pushed it on TV. It just picked up from
yeah.
Facebook and
yeah.
social.
Right.
And then he got paired with Aiden and we still couldn't find it. And he got paired with Aiden and he sang Rusev Day. And within a couple weeks, people started a little kid singing it online, and then we went to Europe and all of Europe started chanting it on the European tour, and I knew it was going to catch fire.
Yeah.
I knew it. And I go, you're turning babyface. And I already knew he was going to turn babyface before, because I think on Total Divas, people see how funny he is and they really like him on Total Divas. And then like, they always thought he was like, just funny. And I think even with Dolph, when we were in the story with Dolph, when you started seeing more of like the comedy, like comedy promos, people started to see a personality. So it was just like slowly like, oh, we like, especially guys, like you a little bit more, like you a little bit
yeah.
more. And then it just took something like Aiden singing Rusev Day
yeah.
for it to spark fire. And it was nuts.
No,
and
it was great.
It
That's
was
what I'm saying.
Nuts.
I think it was amazing.
And, you know,
what I'm saying now.
Once he was gone, it's like, it's just not the same. You can't.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. And I think he had a big part of, like, he only introduced me a couple times singing. And then, like, immediately people are, you know,
yeah.
he.
Why did they break you guys up with Aiden?
I'll let you answer that question.
Who's to say?
That's definitely not the truth.
Can you say?
They had different visions. Management had different visions.
Okay.
And we fought.
Because you wanted to keep going.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
If it ain't yeah. broke, why, you know,
right,
there's
right.
nothing to fix. I mean, now, because I keep referring back to last WrestleMania and all that, because I just watched the WWE 24
yes.
special or whatever.
Yes.
And the whole weekend, the whole thing, months leading and after, it was all about Rusev Day and people singing top selling merch, everything.
Yeah. No, I mean, all of New Orleans was, you could walk down Bourbon Street and people were chanting Rusev Day.
Yeah.
That it was, my friends were cracking up. They're like, these are people all of a sudden that are not even wrestling fans are chanting it. And it was huge. It was absolutely, absolutely, wow. And I think partly because the company wasn't pushing it made the fans want it even more. And that's just how our fans are.
But we're in the new era, where they say that the fans are, they're really listening to the fans. If you had your genie bottle, would you want to be back with Aiden? Or are you ready for the next chapter? Are you ready to find something new? Or where are you?
We're way past that at this point.
Yeah.
He's an announcer at 205 now.
Yeah.
I am whatever we are. And yeah, we've got to move on. And it's just, I told her that a few months ago. I'm like, nobody cares about it. We need to do something else. But she said, no. But I think pretty soon we're going to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I just said that because things can change in a moment like that and can change. And so that's why I was like, once again, I mean, you can lead if someone introduces it, it sets the tone, right? Mm-hmm. It sets a tone. And so you don't have that. It's a little bit, and look, that might have been, I mean, I think that, you know, our chairman, he's always prefers him as a bad guy.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
I think that's really what it all boils down to. That's really what, and I think.
Do you want to be a heel again?
Oh, I love being a heel.
Yeah.
I've never been a babyface in my life until these past 2 months.
So I think, like you said, maybe a bit of this, and this is something I want to bring up, because we're actually going to be breaking news on here.
Here we go.
Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
Wait, did I just do what I did? Oh, I know you guys are going to hate me for that. Sorry, but we have to end this part one on that note. And it's just going to make you have to come back for more. It has been a very, very fascinating interview, though, right? Haven't I told you, like, Lana really, really opened up. I know one thing. I definitely see Lana in a completely different way. And I worked with her for so many years and didn't know this. So that's why I always say, people, don't judge each other. You don't know what someone's going through. You don't know what someone's been through. So sometimes when somebody reacts, you have to understand that sometimes they're reacting because they're being triggered by what happened to them really early on. What might not bother you will bother somebody else because of what they've been through. And then what doesn't bother somebody else sometimes bothers you because of what you've been through, right? So it's a lot easier to understand people if you can stay open-minded. And so, Lana, thank you. So far, I really, really want to appreciate for how vulnerable you've gotten. And Rusev, you're hilarious. You're so funny. Seriously, both of you, you've shared a lot too of your frustrations, and I get it. You know, we have this life that not everything goes our way, and you know, it's hard. It's hard to be down in the valley, but we learn a lot about ourselves as well. And some of the frustration is trying to figure out what you can do. And a lot of us are in that, in any company that we're at, right? So sometimes we're at work and we don't understand why we're not getting the promotion. Sometimes we're somewhere else and we don't understand why we're not getting why we're getting overlooked. Or we're in a relationship or we're trying to get a relationship and we can't make the other person notice us. I mean, yeah, it's those times in the valley that you're not getting noticed. You go, how the heck am I supposed to get up? Well, you just have to keep thinking and keep working hard and keep working out and keep controlling the things that you can control, just like they've been doing. So part two is unbelievable. Tell everybody about part one, though, because you really need to hear this interview in its entirety. In part two, we will be breaking the news. So make sure you come back next week for part two. But this week, I want you guys to live with much, peace, love, and passion out there. Thank you so much for following the show, for the 5-star ratings, for the continued subscriptions and reviews. And remember, we're going to be giving away more t-shirts and more autographs. Just go to Apple Podcast. And thank you for following me at Lillian Garcia and the show at Chasing Glory Podcast on Instagram. So until then, remember to always be yourself and trust that it's enough. Bye, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us here on Chasing Glory from executive producer Lillian Garcia. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends and be sure to subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows. Hey.